Do you know what a cocoa mat is? What about Schistoricus or an Egeris? If you don't, that's all right. They're a mat made from coconuts, a spinal disorder, and a species of goat. But can you spell them? Our next guest can. In fact, he spelled all of these stumpers and more correctly and won the National Spelling Bee. We've got a champion speller here to share his approach to mastering even the trickiest words. We want to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. Are you a good speller? Have you ever been in a spelling bee? How did you prepare? Are there words that you can just never remember how to spell? And what questions do you have about getting better? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Dev Shah is the winner of the 2023 Scripps National Spelling Bee. He recently wrote a piece in the Washington Post called "I Won the National Spelling Bee. This is what it takes to master spelling." Dev, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, a big congratulations on your win in the summer. What did it feel like to be up there on stage and hear the judges tell you that you spelled that final word correctly?
Yeah, thank you so much. I never really imagined it. Like, as I said, I lost dozens of bees, but it was kind of like a dream come true, and it was really surreal.
And what do you think the difference was this time around that got you to the finals?
I think I really focused on being able to guess a word correctly, and not even, I kind of made a mistake. It's not really guessing, it's kind of predicting. And I really just focused on my battles and picked my battles strategically because there are 11 million competitors, right? And only one can win. So at the end of the day, you have to focus on your strengths.
And you wrote in your Washington Peace post that, you know, to become a good speller and to get ready for a B like this, you shouldn't be trying to memorize all the words. Why not?
People who pick out the words, they're expert linguists, and they pick words that you can trick with other words and you can confuse with other words and other simple words. And they pick really obscure words so that you actually have to understand language to really be able to guess it or predict it. And you should prepare for every situation and every scenario, because the spelling bee is really volatile and unpredictable.
Yeah, and I think you wrote that there's something like 500,000 words that could be in play. Is that right?
Right, yeah. And they come from a wide variety of languages, and they have a wide variety of definitions. So you have to be prepared for any situation.
Yeah, from what I understand, English is kind of made up of a layer of different languages that have influenced it at one time or another and found their spellings and pronunciations into the language. Is that part of what makes it so difficult and unpredictable?
Yeah, like, for instance, there are words that come from Maori, a language in New Zealand. There are words that come from Native American languages. There are words that come from Dutch, German. So you have to really pin down the phonetic patterns in each of these languages and be able to apply them and piece out a word.
And you wrote that it really helps to know the how and the why of a word when you hear it. Why is that important?
So, especially when you're on stage, you may know 50,000 words, but knowing the how and why means you can apply those patterns and phonics to other words. So I think the application part matters much more than the memorization part.
We're talking with Dev Shah right now, winner of the 2023 Scripps National Spelling Bee. He's with us here to talk about his experience and how to get better at spelling. And Dev, I want to hone in on one of the words that you spelled in the National Bee, periosi. How would you approach predicting that spelling if you didn't already know how to spell it?
Okay, so with periesi, so that comes from two Greek parts. The first part is peri, meaning around, like perimeter. And the second part comes from oikos, meaning house, like ecosystem or ecosphere. So you would kind of just piece it out. And from those two parts, and the OE part is what really trips up most spellers. So I got that part. Most of these words have a tricky spot.
Yeah, I'm glad that I wasn't the one to give you the pronunciation for that one, Deb. Thanks for correcting me. And so how would you spell that?
So first it's perimeter, right? So PERI and then oikos, OECI.
Nice. And so when you are asking the judges for that extra information, specifically the definition, what are you looking for when they give you the answer?
So what I'm looking for is words that can give me the clues to these roots. So for instance, in samophile, right? In the definition, it's things or animals that live in sandy soils. And keywords are basically words that give away the roots. So sandy is a keyword. And I thought of roots that meant sand. And instantly I thought of Samos. And that's what gave the rest of the spelling.
Yeah, and samophile was your winning word this year in the B. And the part that seems the trickiest to me in there is that double M in the middle of samophile. How did you figure out that there was two M's?
So the PS and the two M's, those were the tricky spots in that word. And I just thought of other words with Samo because, like, right, sandy soils. I knew other words that started with Samo, and right, that's the application part, being able to apply other roots to new words that you haven't heard of.
Interesting. And another thing that I hear spellers asking the judges a lot is to use a word in a sentence. Why is that helpful?
Honestly, that like really helps in the local Bs in the school or regional B. I personally never ask those. I just like ask them as like a way to get reassurance and calm down a little because nerves are the biggest part, really, managing emotions.
Sure, to buy yourself a little bit of time up there.
To be fair, they don't really pause the timer. They just keep going. So
Gotcha.
you have to be conservative.
And one of your words also in the B this year, I believe in the finals of the national B was, or the first round, I should say, was something that comes from French, ardoise or ardois. That's again a different language coming into English and being used in the B. What were your thoughts when that word was posed to you?
Well, it certainly isn't like the first time it's happened. The B does prefer a lot of French, Dutch, German, practically every language. So when I heard ardoise, I was prepared. And I think what really changed this year is was preparing for each situation. And I knew that they were very heavy on French, so I prepared French words as well.
And what is your, I think back to when I learned spelling and it was flashcards and maybe the occasional computer game with spelling, and I can't really think of anything else. So I'm curious, Deb, what's your training routine like? How do you study up?
So the majority of what it would be is advanced searching, and that's basically like categorizing words in languages and word combinations. So for instance, in Samophile, the first two letters is PS, right? So I would do a search for words that start with PS, and then I'd go through that list and then analyze like stems and exceptions, because there's never really an always in spelling. There's always going to be a word that breaks the rule. And then I'd focus on vocabulary, because vocabulary is a huge part of the competition. You can't get through without mastering vocab. And then I just have someone quiz me, like my father. And I think that helps with managing emotions and that part.
And is there a word or are there types of words that you find particularly frustrating or difficult?
Yeah, for sure. I would say eponyms. Those are basically words that come from names. And the thing is, you can't really ask for roots when it comes to eponyms because they're just names. So it's hard to piece them out, and you kind of just have to use phonetic patterns and your intuition.
And Deb, for people out there, whether they're young, old, and they want to become a better speller, what is your kind of take-home tip for them?
My take-home tip is to expose yourself to more words, because at the end of the day, with spelling, the biggest strength that you can have is an intuition. You're never really going to know how to spell every word right. But if you can just predict a word with an intuition by exposing yourself to more words through reading, watching movies, stuff like that, I think that's the biggest takeaway.
And Deb, as we wrap up, I understand this was your last year of eligibility for the Spelling Bee. Now that you've won it and had this experience, what are you taking away from it?
What I've taken away from it is to appreciate the journey a little bit more, because the final destination was like winning, right? And that only lasted for a good 20 seconds. So compared to 5 years, I think the journey really mattered a lot more than the whole moment, winning moment.
That is some good advice. Deb, it was really cool to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dev Shah is the winner of the 2023 Scripps National Spelling Bee. He talked with us about his approach to spelling and how we can all become better spellers. In a minute, we'll talk with a linguist about why English spelling in particular is so tricky. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is English a second language for you? If so, what have you observed about spelling in English? Have you found it more or less difficult than other languages? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Knetter. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about spelling. Spelling in English can be pretty strange. For example, why do we have silent Ks, like in night? Why do head, heart, and theater all have different vowel sounds, even though they're spelled with the same vowels? We're talking about the irregularities of English spelling, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the history of spelling in English and how our language got so strange? What words do you find tough to spell? Have you coached yourself to spell them well in some way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Erica Okrent is a linguist and author of books including Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme, and Other Oddities of the English Language. Erica, welcome back to Central Time. Erica, are you there with us?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hi.
Hey, good to hear from you. Erica, before we get going, I just want to get your thoughts on what Dev had to say earlier. It was really cool to talk to him. What do you think of what he had to say about spelling and the experience of a bee champion?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting to hear his technique and how he kind of absorbs some patterns and is able to work with them, because often you'll hear about English spelling and it seems like there is no pattern. How do you do that? And it is true that there's not a rule. You can't say here are the 100 rules of English spelling or here are the 1,000 rules of English spelling. You'll never get that. But there are patterns that you can study and absorb as you read and learn languages. And you can't really predict what spelling it's going to be from a list of rules or patterns, but you can back explain. Once you've got the spelling, you can explain it, which most people don't realize, because we like to shrug and say, oh, English spelling, you know, it is what it is. What are you going to do?
And is it fair to say that English is trickier than other languages because of all the layers that have formed it?
It is because of the spelling. So every language has irregularities, things you just have to memorize. Every language is difficult in its own way for people who don't know it yet. But English does have a special difficulty when it comes to spelling. And that has to do with the history of the writing system of English and the layers that went into producing the writing system that we have.
One of the changes that English went through was called the Great Vowel Shift. And from what I understand, words like book with double vowels O used to be pronounced boke, or boot mm-hmm. used to be pronounced boat. Why did that change?
Well, yeah, the spelling used to make sense. It was a long O, and it's spelled with two O's. But over time, the vowel system of English shifted, and that had to do, and that happened right as the writing system was developing, and we were coming out of the years of where we didn't really use English as a written language. French was the written language in England for a long time, and the when English writing started coming back and the printing press started coming in, different regions of English were of England were pronouncing things in very different ways, and the whole system was shifting. The range of the vowels were different from place to place and from region to region, and the spelling got fixed in a haphazard way from here to there, and whose spelling was being used.
And I think of, you know, reading historical documents, even from the colonial era here in America, and you see a lot of phonetic spelling too. When did phonetic spelling kind of take hold and then go out of style?
Well, the original written English, old English of, you know, the year 800, was very, very regular and phonetic. And then some, but there was, it wasn't really written down to begin with. And then when it, some Roman priests came in and started writing, using it as a written language, they didn't have all those sounds in Latin, and they had to come up with ways of approximating these strange English sounds. So that gave us things like the GH for this H sound that we had and don't have anymore, but that spelling stayed. And then it stopped being a written language for a long time. And when it came back, it was, there were just many ways of spelling things that were phonetic to the people that were writing here and there in different places, but not for other people who were also using English. So what was once phonetic became kind of random in which one got accepted and used the most.
We're talking with Erica Okrent right now, linguist and author of books, including Highly Irregular. We're talking about the English language and why its spelling can be so tricky. Erica, another thing I wanted to ask about is the silent K. And it sounds like this is a spelling left over from old English. Words like night and knife used to have the K make an actual sound. And I'm interested in this partly because my own last name, Knetter, still has that K in there. why did those K's stop making their sound?
Well, yes, that was from the period of time when our spelling system was very phonetic and very regular, and we actually pronounced those words with the K sound. Then natural language changes, which happened to every language, changed the sound system, and that initial K dropped out. And, you know, other languages like Spanish has that double L, which isn't pronounced as a double L because it changed. It's that one was sort of a natural change over time. That sound disappeared, but we had already kind of stabilized the spelling of that. So that is a natural change that happens in languages. But English had various other things like the vowel system shift, and also adopting a lot of other words from other languages, and learning to use English again as a written language after this long period of not being a written language, that make it unlike other languages and why they lost letters or lost sounds.
I also want to ask about the example that's right in the title of your book, why tough, through, and dough all make different sounds despite having that O-U-G-H at the end of all of them.
Yeah, that one's a real tricky one, especially for learners of English and for kids learning to write. Like, this makes no sense. What is the rule here? But if you look at, you know, the history, that GH, that actually stands for something that used to be there, this huh sound that changed over time, either dropped out or changed to an F sound in different regions of England. And the vowels were originally three different vowels that were written three different ways that then overlapped with this new way of trying to write vowels down while we were in the midst of this sound change, where different regions did everything differently and landed in this place where it looks like they should all be the same vowel, but they never were. And there's an interesting, the do one, we have the do, and that GH became an F, and it's still a word in England for a special kind of dessert called duff. Plum duff is a sort of Christmas dessert. And it's the same word, it's dough, but for that word, it went the F way. And for the dough word, it dropped out, but it's that GH, that H sound, that's where it came from in both cases. And it went two separate ways, and we've got different spellings.
And Erica, just in our last minute, all of this can make English pretty tough to spell, probably pretty tough to learn for someone coming into it the first time, but does it make it interesting to study?
Oh yeah, definitely. I love seeing a word and thinking, huh, I wonder why is it spelled this way and pronounced this way? And you can look it up and the answer is in the history and the layers of this history where it's not as simple as it seems, because every layer complicated it a bit more. But I love tracking down those things and hunting for the answer for why is this way.
We'll leave it there. Erica, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Erica Okrent is a linguist and the author of books including Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme, and Other Oddities of the English Language. She talked to us about why English spelling can be so challenging. Earlier, we talked with Dev Shah, winner of the 2023 Scripps National Spelling Bee.